I'm sure you can hear me. It's great to be here. It feels like I'm home. So it's great to be here. So if you are wondering, we're starting a new series and it's called Christmas at Jubilee. It's a wonderful, powerful series. I am the opening batsman. I mean, if you understand the cricket scenario, you know, there'll be a few guys, you know, preaching after me. I'm what you would call the opening batsman, and then the other batsmen will be coming after me in the weeks to come. I mean, you should listen to the guy who's coming after the guy who comes after the guy who comes after the guy who comes after the guy after me. Amazing stuff. So if you have a Bibles, please, we are in Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be reading a few verses there, in fact, starting from verse 2. And we're going to go all the way to verse 7. So it's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to verse 7. The Bible says, if you got it, the Bible says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that bends them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in the battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be the fuel for their fire. And verse 6 says, for us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on their shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of course, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Almighty God will accomplish this. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. This is your word. And we ask, Lord, that as we sit back, Lord, that we will listen with our hearts opened, Lord, ready to receive from you. We thank you for your word, Lord, because it never, never goes out and not achieve its purpose. Speak to us right now, Lord, as we gather together as your congregation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what you're going to be deriving from these verses is just 3 points. And the first point is the darkness of our world. Number two, how real Christmas is, because Christmas is real. And number three, the dawning of the light. So it's the darkness of the world, how real Christmas is, and the third point is the dawning of the light. And when I got a brief to preach here this morning, the title is The Light Has Dawned. And of course, we're talking here about Christmas, one of my favorite seasons of the year, probably if not the best seasons of every time when I get to Christmas. I've become a different person altogether. You know, I have already started playing Christmas carols wherever I'm driving, and I even got little earpods where I'm just listening to Christmas music. I love Christmas. I'm not ashamed of that. I was driving with my son the other day, and I started playing some Christmas songs, and he kind of looked at me and he says, "Oh no, it's too early for Christmas." So I compromised and I let him play his gom and my piano. So I kind of left it like that. There's a reason why we embrace Christmas. There is a reason why Christmas is such a beautiful time of the year. It's because we realize exactly where we are. Okay? So let's get into it, the darkness of the world. Firstly, you know, one of the things that you notice about Christmas, like it's obvious, it's lights. right? Wherever you go, there will be Christmas lights. There will be, you know, lights all over. I mean, one of my dreams, I mean, it's something that we're going to do, my wife and I, at some point. We will go to places like Austria or go to these wonderful places, you know, in Europe. I remember we arrived in the UK one year, the day, literally the day after Christmas. And I said to Desmond, we missed it. But the place is beautiful. It's got Christmas lights, all decorated. I mean, our mayor here just last weekend turned the lights on, okay? So there is something about Christmas. I mean, it's like lights. There will be not be a Christmas tree in our house. It will be up soon, but it will have its little light there, kind of shining on the tree. But the point is about lights. It's not just to decorate, but it's also just to symbolize something, that something has arrived. The light has come. And imagine if yourself, you're in a room and it's totally dark. We all know that, isn't it? We live through the days of Eskom. We appreciate light so much. I know that in my own house, you know. It is powerful to have light because it shines. If you are in a house and it's dark, suddenly there's light, something happens. The clear truth is that the world is in a dark place, as I'll demonstrate later on. And we will never find ourselves out of a dark world unless Jesus, whom we're talking about here in this passage, comes and breaks into our light and becomes involved, you know, on a daily basis. Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says, 4:16 says, the people live in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. Jesus has dawned upon us. He has come to be our lives. In John, for example, we read this wonderful, from the first chapter, this wonderful verse 9:10. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone that's coming to the world. He was in the world, and though the world did not recognize him, that's him, living absolutely in the light, and Jesus comes in. And that's what Christmas means, the light that comes. Now, what is this thing? I mean, we pick up in verse 2 about the darkness of the world. What are we talking about here? Clearly, what we're talking about, the Bible, whenever the Bible speaks about, you know, you are in the dark, it illustrates two things. The first one is evil, and then the other one is ignorance. Okay, so those are the two things that the Bible is talking about here whenever it's referring to the dark. Right? So let's talk about evil. Now, in order for us to understand that, we need to enter into the world that Jesus was born into. That world of, where, you know, when Wes was talking earlier about Mary having conceived Jesus Christ, she was actually living in an interesting part of, you know, the world. And if you go as a historian and delve into that and try to discover what was happening, there were quite a few things. I mean, violence was part of that. There were refugees moving in up and down. There was definitely injustice. There was oppression. There was racism. There was everything, including the abuse of power. Okay? And then you may say, if that was happening then, is it happening in our world today? The answer is yes. We live exactly like in the old days. Okay? So that's evil. It's a time of evil. Whenever the Bible speaks about, hey, this darkness, the one point is evil. But also, not only just evil, there's also ignorance. There's a thing about, there are things that we do not know. There are things that we are seeking to understand. Okay, so now, the Bible says in 9, chapter 9, verse 12, of the very scripture that we read, verse 2, it says there, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned upon them. I mean, there are many Christmas songs that like to latch on this one. I was talking to a friend of mine who's an Anglican priest. We were talking about this, and he says, yes, it's a famous, favorite piece of, I suppose, writing. Whenever people talk about Christmas, they always run to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. You know, the light has dawned. It's quoted many, many times. But in order for us to understand fully well how ignorant people are and how ignorant people were, even in the writing of this, we need to go back just a few verses higher than that. It's in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. If you can, please, just read with me. It says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, that is those people who believe in spirits, who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Distressed and hungry, they'll roam through the land. When they are famished, they'll become enraged and look up, and looking up and down will curse their king and their God. In other words, what is being said here is that you've got those people who are, because they're in ignorance. We know this, brothers and sisters. There are people who are living in ignorance. Some of them will go and consult those who are practicing various spirits. You know, I remember, for example, moving into that place where we live in Thornton. There used to be this permanent caravan, you know, of you can go and speak to the soothsayer. She will tell you all sorts of things. Or others actually throw bones. I mean, right now, there are thousands and thousands, if not millions, being spent on slaughtering poor cows because people are trying to consult. They're trying to understand their future because, you know, that's what they want to find out. And the Bible tells us that they are consulting with spiritists, people who practice various spirits because they're in ignorance, you know. It even goes on to say they are looking and, you know, trying to consult with the dead. You know, that's ancestral kind of worship, consulting. I want to know. It's ignorance, brothers and sisters. This is what's happening here. They're trying to fix what's happening deep inside of them because they are in darkness. They're looking towards the earth. They're looking towards human resources. They're looking towards themselves to fix what is wrong, okay? They are looking at experts. They're consulting so-called experts. I'm going to go and speak to someone who's an expert in this field. Or maybe they're going to famous scholars to go and find out how can we fix a particular problem of the world. They're looking today also to the state. I mean, as you know, I'm not so sure whether you can 100% look to the state, but some of them are looking to the state. Others are looking at their own education, or perhaps some are looking at their own family history, or perhaps I'm a Minyi, the Minyis are well known, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're looking to find something to understand what's happening. They're even looking at TikTok to understand what is it that they can fix. They're looking even at technology, okay? It's ignorance, the Bible tells us, okay? But really, can we fix it by ourselves? Can we fix the situation that we find ourselves now? Are we literally God? Can we help ourselves? It is clearly, the answer is no, okay? So that's the state of darkness of the world. But now, what does Christmas offer to us, okay? Now, if it's very clear that we cannot fix ourselves, perhaps Christmas and the message of Christmas comes in to be the answer. Let me even stay on this one a little bit and tell you, brothers and sisters, not even democracy is able to fix us. Let me quote, I mean, it's a fairly long quote, so bear with me. I just need to read this in full so that you understand. I've taken an extract from a speech by the outgoing UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. Her name is Michelle Bachelet. She says, please excuse the quote, it's quite long. She says, a glance at the state of the world today reveals a grim picture. Just as we thought we're slowly emerging from a global health pandemic, the armed attack in Ukraine and its socioeconomic consequences globally have thrown us in deeper into turbulence. Goes on to say, a global fuel, food, and finance crisis plunging millions into food insecurity and poverty. She argues, she says, 1.2 billion people live in countries that are severely exposed and vulnerable to all three dimensions of finance, food, and energy simultaneously. Inequalities between and within countries are skyrocketing. threatening COVID-19 recoveries, undermining progress in the implementation of the SDGs, and slowing down climate action. And polarization, both within and between countries, continues to grow. The weakening and multilateralism of international legal order and of international law of itself, and with immense consequences on human rights. She goes on to talk about democracy. She says, democracy is also ailing. In 2021, she goes on, the level of democracy enjoyed globally by the average person was down to 1989 levels. This means democratic gains of the last 30 years have been greatly reduced. Last year, almost a third of the global population lived under authoritarian rule. She says democracy, there's decline definitely in democracy, and this is evident in countries such as Central Asia, East European countries, some Pacific countries, etc., and many, many countries. She goes on, but she says people are no longer trusting institutions, and the people are feeling ignored and hopeless. Now, that's a grim picture. You do not want to read this and then go to bed. Okay? This is the kind of thing that you read somewhere and then pray and say, God, get rid of this. Because this is definitely not a beautiful picture that we're seeing here. It actually takes us back to Isaiah 8, where people are literally knowing that things are so bad, they are looking for help. And they start running into all sorts of institutions. Even the key institution that they look up to is under threat, including, by the way, our very own democratic setup in South Africa is under threat. But we should look at what is it that Christmas offers to us, okay? Now, Christmas offers a better solution. That's why I love Christmas. It offers us even a better situation. It doesn't say, hey, come on, let's pull ourselves together. We shall go through this. No. It actually says, yes, things may be dark. However, there is hope. And his name is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, you know, when whatever happened, light has dawned. Light has come. It doesn't say, okay, we all got together and we generated our own light. No. It says light dawned upon us. We did not manufacture this light. That light came and shone literally upon us and came, boom, into a beautiful world that is decaying. The other day, my wife and I were driving towards the Poland, beautiful, and the clouds were sort of covering, but then there were these rays of lights that were coming through. It was almost like, remember the old spotlights? You know, it was like the light coming out of that. That's what the Bible says to us. Light shining upon us and then coming out of us straight into this world that is decaying. The Bible says in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have eternal light. Now, light is extremely important for us. Light is everything. In fact, light brings about life. light brings about sunshine. There used to be a newspaper here, which I will not recommend, but it's called The Sun. It used to have a tag of line that says, the sun sees alles. In other words, the sun sees everything. You see, the light comes and brings us life. Without the light, without the sun, without light shining, it would be extremely difficult. Now, one of the reasons why I do not want to stay in Europe, in parts of Europe, for a very long time, is that I'm scared that I'm going to become depressed. Because it is a real thing where I'm told by friends that some people, you know, like those of us who have this wonderful skin, once we get there, you know, if you stay far away from the sun, it begins to kind of affect you a little bit, you know. We need the sun, we need the light to shine and everything upon us. If we have the light with us, it totally gives us the life that we're looking for. It surrounds us. You know, I love it when the Bible says, in him we move, in him we live, in him we have our being. That's Jesus Christ. And that's the light that he covers us. What has happened is that the light has shown us the truth. The truth our shortcoming. The truth of how we fail to be the people that God wants us to be. So we come into that situation and Christ becomes the one who eliminates everything, the truth to us. We need the light that shines. Imagine if you're driving a car and it's totally dark, like there are no lights at all, and that you suddenly drive. Okay, so you can manage if you've got the lights, but if your battery is dead and you're driving and it's in the middle of the night and you're driving in a rural village called Bizana, where I come from, chances are that you will crash. Okay? However, if there is light, chances are that you will be able to get to where you want to be. What the light does, therefore, to us, it reveals the truth about our condition. It tells us where we could be. And Christmas comes in and becomes exactly the revealer of truth. And Jesus becomes the one who becomes the truth. He is, by the way, the truth. The Bible tells us that. So, light is absolutely crucial for us. We cannot do without what this light shines into our lives. Okay? Right. Having said all of that, into my third point. The dawning of the light. The light has come. So, if God therefore has shown the light upon us, how did that happen? It happened through Jesus coming into the world. Some of the most quoted verses, in fact, verse 6 and verse 7 says, of the same chapter that I read here, he says, for us a child is born. Okay? Listen to the titles that's given to this wonderful Jesus. He says he's a wonderful counselor, as we sang this morning. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. This is what the Bible tells us. This is the Jesus that is coming to us at this time of the year and becomes real at Christmas. He is everything that you were ever. Wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is who he is. He's a mighty God. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. In fact, if you look at all this, let's pick and choose. You know, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Which one would you want us to talk about? In fact, let me decide for you. Let's decide, for example, he's a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. He is the God upon whom we will bow down and worship. The Bible tells us that this human body of mine, this person that I am, literally will tremble, will be filled with awe, will be shaken when I move into the presence of the mighty God. He is such a creator of the entire universe that I have no choice but to bow down, to him. That is your response to him. You will bow down. So if Jesus is the everlasting Father and mighty God, you can't just let that pass you by. You've got to embrace it. You've got to say, I want this for my life. He has such an effect on you. You have no choice but to accept him as Lord and Savior completely. Not in some areas or kind of little area there, or let me just leave that. He's a mighty God. He's our Lord and Savior. You do not encounter Jesus and remain the same. He changes lives. This Christmas that's dawning upon us is going to affect you. It's going to cause you to be reconciled with him. So that's how powerful an encounter with this everlasting Father could be. Let's take another one. Wonderful counselor. Okay? The Bible says he's a wonderful counselor. So if you are going through a tough time, if you are going through some of the most difficult moments in your life, if things are not really working out for you, my suggestion is you are going to need a counselor. You are going to need someone who is going to walk with you. That's what a counselor does. A counselor walks with you through your journey to recovery, to becoming whole again. When the Bible says Jesus is this wonderful counselor, it's not just some counselor or someone who's just going to counsel you, no, and just and get this matter done and over with. The Bible qualifies what kind of counselor he is. It says he is a wonderful counselor. He's going to walk with you. He knows what you are going through. That's our God. Our God knows your suffering. He knows the pain that you are into. He understands your situation. So he's prepared to say, I'm going to walk with you through this pain, through this period that you have. He becomes your wonderful counselor. Now remember, Jesus was crucified on our behalf. He went through the pain. He is described as the suffering servant. He is described as the King of Kings, went through that entire thing. You can embrace this Jesus now as your wonderful counselor at this particular moment. This is what Christmas is all about. He comes and he breaks into your life and gives you a life that is everlasting. So that's what Christmas is about. It's about understanding that he is here. It's like this wonderful counselor. And it's time, when I say time, it's almost like Christmas as we enter into it now. It's a time that we know that we have a wonderful counselor that comes and walks with us. Now, Jubilee, one of the things that I do know is that when we come through this time of the year, many people call it the silly season, okay? It's a season where people end up doing silly things. And I worry in particular as a parent, as a teacher, as an educationist, just what that means, particularly for those who are finished exams and stress reliever and all that sort of thing, and the kind of things that people get up to, okay? It is actually a season where you could actually, instead of, I want to find something else, but actually run to the wonderful counselor. His name is Jesus. When you talk to him, he understands. He is beautiful. That's Jesus. He knows our condition. And he is ready to embrace you now. That's how the light has been revealed to us. That's how the light has dawned upon a world that is dying. This is how this light has been given and shown upon us. Because the Bible says, for unto us the Son is given. It's been given as a gift to us. This you can receive. As Herma was saying, it's a gift that's been given to us. One of the things for me that I enjoy about Christmas is the fact that I am guaranteed a gift. Okay? It's going to come, and I am going to receive it. Okay? I'm going to receive it. And it's going to be just the perfect gift for me. It's not going to be like a gift that I once gave to my wife. The next day, I had to go back to the shop and go and exchange. And say, sorry, it's the wrong size. Okay? I had to go back there and humble myself. And she was very kind. She said, a great gift. It's wonderful. You know, it's all convenient. And that's what she said the night before. And she kept quiet. The morning, she says, it's the wrong size. So I had to get up and go back and sort it out. Okay? The gift that gets given to us is a perfect gift. It's a gift. His name is Jesus. He's a wonderful counselor. He comes in and like light, he shines upon us. Now, the question I want to ask you, are you ready to receive the gift that God has given to us through Jesus? He is here right now. and it's a perfect gift for you. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you that you've given to us, Lord, an everlasting Father, an everlasting gift that changes our lives completely. A life, Lord, that comes through the light that is shown to us. We are your people, Lord, and we give ourselves to you during this time and this season coming up. Help us, Lord, to focus on you. Amen.